In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. In today's Gospel, our Lord multiplies bread and fishes to feed the multitude. But what I'd like to draw our attention to is the reason that our Lord gives. This great crowd has followed him into the desert, and they've been following him for 3 days. They've eaten up whatever supplies they have brought with them. And he says, I can't send them home fasting because some of them have come from a great distance, and they will faint along the way. And I'd like to draw your attention to the fact that these have come a long distance to be with Christ, to hear Christ speak. The spiritual writers look for a spiritual interpretation of this long distance, and they show us that we as sinners are far distance from Christ. We have gone a long way from where we're supposed to be. And it is really impossible for us to get back. For we are in the desert, our home is heaven, and how do we get there? We need spiritual strength, we need spiritual food, we need this spiritual nourishment, otherwise we're going to faint and die on the way, and we're not going to make it home. Heaven is our home. And for us to get there, we need spiritual food. It is a long way off. It might not be a long time. It may be a very short time, but it is still a long way off. The distance between the perfect life of the saints in heaven and our sinful lives here on earth is an unfathomable gulf. And it is going to require us a lot of labor, a lot of effort to get there. And we cannot do this of ourselves. We need Christ, and that's why Christ came to this earth, to show us this is the path, this is how you get to heaven. Follow me. But it's not going to be an easy path. You're going to need nourishment. And so Christ has given us the seven sacraments. In each of these sacraments, Christ comes to us and he feeds our soul. He gives us nourishment for our souls to strengthen us, to give us the energy that we need to arrive at our destination. And the tragic part is that so many in the world refuse to eat of the spiritual food that our Lord came to bring us. The seven sacraments are the last thing in our mind. But then I guess it is the last thing in our mind because the last thing in our mind is heaven. We think this world is our home, and it is not. We weren't made for this world. We were made for heaven. This world was made for us. This world is here to serve us so that we can get to heaven. And our modern society, our way of looking at things, we have turned everything upside down. We think this is our home, and heaven is maybe someplace we'll travel through someday. We'll go visit it. And we're looking to come back here to this earth as if this earth is our home. And it is not. The sacraments are given to us to help us get into heaven. And if I were to ask the little children, what do you have to do to get into heaven? Some of them would know their catechism enough and say, well, to get to heaven, I need to know, love, and serve God in this world. And then I can be happy with him in heaven. Other children that haven't learned their catechism, they will tell me, well, Mom says I need to be good. And I would ask the little children, what does it mean to be good? Oh, what does it mean to be good? That's a tough question, isn't it? What do you think, Eliza? It's tough. It's hard to be good. How come it's so hard to be good? What does being good mean? We have to sit and be quiet. We have to listen to the grown-ups. And we have a whole list of things we're not allowed to do if we're going to be good, right? Don't yell. No screaming. No running in the house. No fighting. Let's see. Wash your hands and your face before you sit down to eat. You have to say your prayers. All these things we have to do. That's what it means to be good. Is that right, Eliza? Well, we're supposed to do all those things, but I think Jesus has something more in mind. Jesus didn't come and say, be good. Jesus came and he said, be holy. Be perfect because your Father in heaven is perfect. Our goal is to be holy. Not just to be good, but I need to be holy. What is this thing called holiness? How do I be holy? And holiness is something in the soul. It's not something we do. It's not something we say. Holiness is our way of thinking. Holiness is what we love. If we love that which is holy, which is God, then we become holy. We become like God. If we love the things of this world more than we love God, or more than we love being holy, then we're not holy and we're not good. It becomes impossible to be good. It is impossible to do what we ought to do unless we're striving to be holy. How difficult is it to turn off the TV when your mother says it's time to eat? You probably don't know, because none of you know what a TV is, do you? It was short for television. It's what we used to do in the old days. And now you have your computer screen, your tablet. You've got all your screens, your cell phone. You've got all these gadgets to play games, to watch your shows. And when mom says it's time to put it away, I want you to come and eat dinner. Not just yet, I have to finish my game, I have to finish this show, I have to do this, I have to do that. You know, if we turned off our TV, when we came to turn it back on, it didn't pick up right where we left off. In the middle of your show, if you had to turn off your TV, you missed the rest of the show. Maybe you could catch it on the reruns in a couple years. But still, we were expected to be good. When mom calls and tells you to turn it off, you turn it off, and yes, you missed that. It's not important. There was something more important. Doing what your mom tells you. And I say, today's kids got it easy. They have a pause button. You can always come back and you can rewatch the whole thing. You can replay the whole game. You can put it on pause and come back later and pick up right where you left off. Why can't I put it away? Why can't I be good? It's because I'm interested in only this. At this moment, this is all I can think about. We call it an obsession, a compulsion. And I wish I could say you were going to outgrow it, but I see many adults who are addicted to these things. and they can't put them down. And yet they think, I'm being good. What are you imagining? What are you thinking? What's going on in your mind? Yes, you're sitting still, absorbed in your little screen. You're not cursing. You're not fighting. You're not disobeying any rules. What's the problem? Say, I'm being good and quiet. I'm going to tell you that's not enough. You need to be holy. And I have a question. What is it that you're playing on your screen? What is it you're watching on your screen? What is it you're thinking while you're on your screen? And my day, I had to ask the question, what is it you're reading in that book? What is it you're thinking about as you're reading this book? What is it you're imagining when you're reading? Do you know what you're reading? No, but I've been reading. If I ask you, what are you thinking about? You know the answer most people tell me, not just little kids. What are you thinking about right now? Any idea what most people tell me, Eliza? If I were to ask you, what are you thinking about right now? I wish Bishop Giles would stop talking to me. Most of the time, the answer I get is nothing. Well, how can you think about nothing? If you're thinking, you have to be thinking about something. We're playing our silly games, watching our silly show. What's going on in our mind? We're reading our book. We're saying our prayers. We're going through the rosary. That's being good. I'm saying my prayers. I say it's not enough to say your prayers. We need to pray our prayers. They have to come from the heart. They have to come from our minds. What are we thinking? Not just what are we doing. What are we thinking? What's going on in our hearts and our minds? That's what we need to get a hold of. That's what we need to focus on. Are we thinking of heaven? Are we thinking of what I can do to get to heaven? Are we thinking about God? Are we thinking about what I can do to please God? Are we thinking about how many of those bad guys we can shoot in our game? How many points we can get? If I can get bonus points? Are we thinking about when they watch one thing, binge watching? Got to get to the end of the season, but I can't miss a single show. I got to binge watch all of them, one right after the other, and before long, our whole life has passed us by. Well, what are you thinking? What are you doing? I don't know. Just wasting my time. I am far away from God. I'm far away from heaven. I've got a long way to go. I need some help if I'm going to make it home. Our Lord came. He found us here in the desert, and we're starving, and we don't even know it. And he says, I must feed these people. And so he gives us the seven sacraments so that we can come to him, so that we can receive him, so that he will nourish not just our bodies, but nourish our souls. He gives us all this stuff for our bodies. We have everything we need for this journey physically. But we need to feed our souls. And it's not just saying our prayers that's going to feed our souls. Because I think too often we say our prayers and our hearts are not there. Our minds are not there. All while we're praying to Mary. our thoughts are whatever our game is that we've got to do. How can I get to the next level? Our thoughts are on worldly things. And so, yes, we're saying our prayers, but we're not really praying. We're allowing these distractions, these diversions, to take us farther and farther away from Christ, farther and farther away from heaven. It's time for us to wake up and realize we've gone not just 3 days into the desert, but we've gone far, far away from heaven. We've gone far, far away from God. Christ has come to us and he says, "Here, I will give you the sacraments. I will multiply food for your soul. Take it, eat it, nourish your soul so that you can make it to heaven, so that you can return to God and not die on the way. But we have to take it. We have to receive it. What good is food if you don't pick it up and put it in your mouth and eat it?" I had an uncle who used to tell me, "You carry money in your pocket, why?" "I have it, but I don't want to spend it. Because if I spend it, then I won't have it, right?" He said, "Well, you're going to carry it around in your pocket. What good is it? If you carry it around in your pocket, you might as well be carrying rocks around in your pocket." And I look at so many people, you have a rosary in your pocket. What good is it to carry it around? It's useless. You might as well have rocks in your pocket, unless you're going to take the rosary out of your pocket and pray the rosary. And if I can entice you to take the rosary out of your pocket, take the rosary off your rearview mirror in your car, take it off your desk at home or your dresser, take it out and to say the rosary, I feel like I've accomplished something, but yet that's just the beginning. That's just the being good part. Christ wants us to go further. He wants us to be holy. The Blessed Mother doesn't want us just to say the rosary. She wants us to put our heart and soul into it. She wants us to pray the rosary. She wants us to be holy. And so in all these aspects of our lives, we need to ask ourselves, where am I? What am I doing? Where am I going? How am I going to get there? And being good is just the first step. I'm not telling you don't be good. You got that, Eliza? All right. Very good. We have to be good, but we have to be better than good. We need to strive to be holy. We need to strive to be saints. And I once had a very old lady tell me, she says, "Father, I want to get to heaven, but I don't want to be a saint." Because she's read the lives of the saints. "Oh, that's too hard." And I laughed, because if you want to get into heaven, you have to be a saint. And being a saint is not as hard as you think. All you have to do is cooperate with Christ. If you allow Christ to come to you in all the sacraments that he offers you, you will have Christ living within you. And you come to the realization with St. Paul, "I can do all things in him who strengthens me." There's nothing too difficult when I've tasted of the sacraments, the graces that God is giving me. I can make it to heaven with God's help, with the nourishment that God has given me. I can do this. Or perhaps if we can rephrase it, God can do this in me if I let him. I'll leave you with one final thought. In catechism, our children learn that God is all powerful, God is all good, and God wants us to get to heaven. God only wants the best for us. And then after we say, I understand this, I believe this, then of course the devil comes along and says, then why is there sickness? Why is there evil? Why are there bad people in this world? How come God allows that if he's good? And he definitely knows about it because he knows all things. He is God. And we come down to the realization that God has given us a free will. He's not going to force us into heaven. He allows us to choose. Do you love me? Will you follow me into heaven? He holds out his hand, and all we need to do is reach out and take it. He's given us the sacraments. He's given us the tools we need. He's showing us the way. What more can he do besides pick us up and drag us into heaven? And he won't do that. We have to walk through those gates of heaven. We have to want to go to heaven. No one gets into heaven kicking and screaming and fighting against God. If you're going to resist his efforts, you're going to fight him, he's not going to open the gates of heaven for you. He will say, fine, you stay out here in the darkness where there's the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. You can scream and kick and holler and do whatever you want out here, but not in the kingdom of heaven. There is evil in this world because God won't force us into heaven. Hell exists because God won't force us to be holy. And so as we hear our Lord preparing the people, preaching to them, feeding their souls, because they have gone a far way into the desert, and they're not going to make it home without some help, we have to realize, yes, he fed their bodies, but more importantly, he is feeding their souls. And he's feeding our souls as well. Benedictio Dei Omnipotentis, Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti. Amen.